Turn with me to Mark 15. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. While reading this chapter, preparing to study for our Bible study on Sunday morning, I was rereading this whole chapter and something kept jumping off the page at me. Look at several verses here. Verse 2, Mark 15, verse 2, Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Verse 9, Pilate answered the people, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Verse 12, Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the king of the Jews?" Verse 18, the soldiers began to mock him and salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Verse 26, they put this superscription over him. His accusation was written over him, "The King of the Jews." That's our subject. That's the title, King of the Jews. Pilate kept asking the Lord this question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" The soldiers and the people mocked him in this way, "Hail, King of the Jews." If you remember, go over to John 18. John chapter 18, some of you were not here in the Bible study, but most of you were. You remember we went over here to John 18 and looked at the complete dialogue between our Lord and Pilate. And that's what we're going to look at tonight more in depth, what Christ said, because our Lord's answer to his question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" is very revealing, very enlightening. And it wasn't written for him because he never did answer him. But it's written for our sake. This is recorded for our sake. It's very, very revealing. All right, let's look at it. Now, this is our text, John 18. Verse 28, they led Jesus from Caiaphas, high priest, unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, that is a Roman judicial court. These Jewish fellows did not want to go into that Gentile court, lest they should be defiled. But they had to eat the Passover. Pilate, read on. Pilate went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring you against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "But if he were not a malefactor, if he were not a common criminal, we would not have delivered him unto thee." In other words, if this was a religious matter, we would have handled it ourselves. Yeah, right. They didn't want the blame. They were feeling guilty. They didn't want it themselves. No one did. Verse 31. Then said Pilate unto them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." They tried. He kept the law perfectly. Judged the lawgiver by the law. The Jews therefore said unto him, "Well, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death." They'd already judged him. Now, the law of Moses said, "Stone a man that was guilty of blasphemy." But they could not convict him of that. Their witnesses didn't agree, remember? None of the witnesses agreed. So they could not justly stone him. So they tried to make it a civil matter. And they said, "We can't put him to death by our law, but you can." Verse 32. And this was in order that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying, prophesying, what death he should die. Back in chapter 12, he said the Son of Man will be delivered to be crucified, because the Scriptures must be fulfilled. He must be crucified. From the very beginning, the Christ was pictured as the crucified one, the serpent on the pole, and on the story goes. But the law, here's the point, and Paul wrote about it in Galatians, Christ became a curse for us, because the law said, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. So Christ had to hang on a tree. He couldn't be stoned. He had to hang. Had to be crucified, to be made a curse for us. All right. What you see here in these few verses is how careful religion is to observe their own traditions and their own rules, and even what they think is observing the law of God, but yet they hate Christ. They hate the Christ. They're not really concerned with what he said, but they're very concerned with keeping the Sabbath. This all will sound very familiar to you, because things haven't changed. Now, these were Jews. These were strict, orthodox in the way they dressed, orthodox in keeping of the law, Sabbath keeping. They're very careful, but they hated the Christ. They hated him. And I can't help it. I have to make parallel. It's still true today in religion. It's still true. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, they have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. There's much religion. A form of religion. All different forms. All over the world. Form of religion. Yet they deny, he said, the power thereof. They deny God's right to be God. God's right to do with his own as he will. Christ's right as judge and Messiah and Christ and Lord over all. They deny the power thereof. I could go on and on with that. Well, whether it be Jehovah's Witnesses in our day, Mormons, Catholics, Pentecostal, even Southern Baptists, across the board, they all deny the absolute sovereign right and reign of the Lord God and His Christ. Look back at John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now most do Him lip service. Most call Him Lord. But yet they say that we must make Him Lord. Now that's lip service. He either is Lord or He's not. Now, if He is Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, you don't make Him that. Most just give lip service when they talk about a king. Many will talk about Him as a king. But He's merely a king that they have crowned themselves. And He's no more than one of these figureheads. That's a perfect description of the Jesus men purportedly worship today. He's a figurehead. Like that Charles over there in England, when he becomes king, I guess he'll become king. Sure they will. They'll make him king. They want a king. Well, he's not a king of anything. He can't decree anything, Henry. You know that? He can't decree anything unless the people let him. Does that sound familiar? They're going to make him king, and they'll let him do whatever they let him do. Old Charlie. Well, John chapter 6, there was a time when the people tried to make the Lord king. Look at John chapter 6, verse 15, verse 14. He just fed many people, and those men, when they saw the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. They got excited. This is that prophet. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, a king. He departed. He left them into a mountain himself alone. Now, why didn't he let them make him a king? Why didn't he let them make him a king? They wanted to make him king. This is so revealing, people. You don't make a king a king. A king is born a king. You don't make a king a king. He's born a king. Every king has truly been king, has been born a king. That's what they announced when Christ came. Where is he that is born king? You don't make him king. He already was king. He had a throne. He left that to come to this cesspool. He already had a kingdom. He doesn't need a king. He's got one. And he's gathering his subjects. He's the king of the Jews. He is the king of the Jews. But not that two-bit country over there in the middle of those eastern countries that everybody's all excited about. That's not the Jews that he's king of. We're going to see that. All right, back to the text. John 18. He is king of the Jews, but not that little country in the Middle East. He's king over that, but that's not his kingdom. John 18, all right, look at verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. John 18, 33. And called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him by asking a question. Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee? I got a blessing Sunday morning in considering our Lord's majesty and power as he stood before that little peanut ruler. Our Lord stood before him, looking him right in the eye, and this man was trembling. Pilate was trembling. He was afraid of the man who was before him in chains. Pilate was on the judgment seat, and yet he was fearful of this man he was judging. As all men should be. The Lord's majesty and dignity as he stood before Pilate, he doesn't answer his questions. He doesn't answer this man's direct questions. Now listen, this is important. He does the asking. Because kings don't run around telling everybody, trying to convince everybody they're a king. Not a true king. A true king doesn't run around telling everybody, now listen, I'm the king. They used to make fun of poor Mr. Nixon when he was president. Remember how he used to say, now I am, let me make this perfectly clear, I am the president. Remember that? And I'm not making fun of the man. I thought he was a pretty good president. But they made fun of him for that because he kept reminding everybody, I'm the president. Well, if he really had the homage of the people, he wouldn't have to do that. Kings don't have to keep telling everybody they're the king. Not a real king. His subjects know it. And if they're not his subjects, he's not trying to convince them of anything. Kings aren't subject to their subjects. Kings aren't subject to the demands of the subjects, are they? Kings, you don't ask kings questions unless they give you permission. Right? He doesn't answer this man. Kings aren't subjects to the demands of of peasants. But a true king is the one who makes the demands and asks the questions. Are you with me? A true king. What we're seeing and learning by this, and the purpose of this message, is And every time we meet together, if we exalt Christ, you'll profit. If I exalt Christ, I've done my job. If we go away from here seeing Him as He is, a little more clearly, it'll give us more peace, it'll give us more comfort, it'll increase our faith, it'll increase our admiration of Him, and it will increase our petitions to Him, everything. It'll make us trust Him. He's King. He's King. What we're learning is He's the true Christ of Scriptures as opposed to the false one out there. And this false stuff has compassed the world. And there's so very few who know. See, this whole story here, the whole nation, people, everybody, killed Him. Hated Him, killed Him, said, "We will not have this man reign over us." But now He had a kingdom at that time. Subjects who bowed to Him as King. See, He's not, Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth to try to get anybody to believe on Him. He came looking for His subjects. He already had them picked out. He's going to reveal Himself to them in their moment, not everybody. He has a kingdom. And He's come to save His poor subjects. Things haven't changed. Things haven't changed. Not one bit. Not one bit. There's nothing in the Scriptures to tell us that there's going to be some kind of worldwide revival and everybody bow the knee to Jesus Christ. No, sir. It's not there. I'll give you a verse of Scripture. I quote this all the time. When Christ said this, when He said, "When the Son of Man comes," talking about His second return, when He comes, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? That astounds me the more I think about it. It's going to be so rare. Everybody calls Him King. Everybody calls Him Lord. He's truly King in the heart of, and truly Lord in the heart of those who just know that He is and bow to Him. They didn't make Him that. They didn't accept Him as that. They didn't have anything to do with Him being that. He just revealed Himself to them. Like the thief on the cross. All he saw was this bloody hanging man beside Him. Lord God. How did he know that, John? In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, his whole heart and mind, everything was changed. His eyesight was changed. Before, he was cussing Him too, making fun of Him. How'd that happen? The King just revealed Himself. He's King. Now, more than ever, God's Word is being called into question. There's very little of this Word that people believe. This is the Word of the King. Can you imagine if the King... Well, King James, if you'll read in the front of your Bible, if it has a dedication to King James, read it sometime. 1611 is when King James had the Bible translated into the common language, the language of the people, the English language. He's the one that set that in motion. Read it sometime. It'll be very interesting. They were scared to death of King James. The translators who wrote that dedication to him referred to him almost like he was God. After you read it, you'll want to tear it out of your Bible. I did. They did. They referred to him as your most dreaded high majesty. In capital, all capital letters. They were scared to death of him. What if one of those translators had just and they diligently compared with one another what each one of them came up with. What if one of them purposely twisted some part of the translation? King James would have had them beheads. Well, there's a king a lot higher than James that set this thing in motion. His word. But men, take it or leave it. No. now more than ever. God's word is being called into question. The King. The word of the King. The sovereign rights, reign, and rule of Christ are being questioned. The demands being made, the demands are being made of the King. People the world over now are not asking God for anything, they're making demands of Him. Especially in that Pentecostal religion. Claim it. Go up to the King and you claim it. Well, the King of glory, listen to me, is still not answering men. He didn't answer this peanut pilot with a little fig leaf laurel on his head. Can't you see that fella? Pot-bellied pilot, little pinhead fella, pretending he's somebody. He wasn't answering him, and the Lord's not answering people today. He's not answering people. They think He is. He's answering His people in power and in majesty and glory and honor, secretly revealing His word to them. But He's not talking to these people that say He's talking to them. No, He's not. He's not answering them. He doesn't answer anybody that makes demands of it. He's the one who makes the demands. And this is what our Lord demanded of Pilate, and this is what He demands of us. This is what He demands of all human beings. Right here. The question that Christ asked him, the demand He made of Pilate, is the question of questions still today. Verse 34. Christ said, "Do you say this of yourself? Are you asking this for your own information? Are you saying this about me? Or is it just something you heard?" In other words, what do you think? I love this, Kelly. Our Lord is standing there in bonds and chains. And this man, who normally has the right and the power to just, you know, if he doesn't like the look of a fella, cut his head off. Our Lord is standing before him and he makes a demand of him. What do you mean? What do you think about that? Now, if that had been anybody else standing before Pilate, he would have become indignant, wouldn't he? And as it is now, he just gets all flustered. But this is the demand. This is the question of questions. It's still the issue among all human beings. This is the one great issue. What think ye of Christ? Who is He? Who is that man named Jesus that walked this planet? What do you think about it? And your answer reveals whether you know Him or not. Your answer reveals whether you're in the kingdom or not. Your answer reveals whether you're a rebel or a subject. Yes, it does. Are you saying this of yourself? Do you think I'm king? Or is everybody just saying it? Now, do you remember when we looked at 1 Timothy 3:16? It says, without controversy. Paul concluded that it's without controversy. God came here. God was manifest in the flesh. And we decided if that man named Jesus was God, is God, was God, faith's not an option. It's not a decision. Faith's not a decision. Faith's not an option. Submission is not an option. Well, you accept Him as your personal Savior and then later on you make Him Lord. Oh, no. If that's God, it's not an option. First, if He's God, that's the first thing you do is bow. First thing you do is believe, whether you understand or not. Agreement with Him is not an option. Well, I believe if He proves it, if that's God, agreement's not an option. Like I said, Pilate seemed to be the one in control, was thought to be, yet the Scripture says the King's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Like rivers of water, He turneth it withersoever He will. Our Lord is standing there controlling this man's heart. What do you think about me? And Pilate's shaken, and he doesn't know what to think. He's confused. He's not one of the Lord's own. Verse 35, Pilate answers, "Am I a Jew?" I can hear him all flustered. I'm not a Jew. Your own nation, the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? What hast thou done? He wouldn't have tried just any old common criminal this much, would he? Am I a Jew? Now, our Lord's statement right here. I'm going to dwell on this a little bit. Our Lord's statement right here about His kingdom is all revealing. This will open up a whole lot to us, what the Lord says. This will expose all the heresy today concerning Christ's kingdom. And it's written, what He says is written to us. It's what He says, Pilate didn't understand, but we did. Our Lord answered verse 36 and said, "My kingdom is not of this world." If it were, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, from here. My kingdom is not of this world. Now that just blows out of the water 99% of religion today. My kingdom is not of this world. I've got written down here, repeat it over and over. My kingdom is not of this world, He said. It's not of this world. If it were, we'd fight. But it's not of this world. My kingdom. Now, although the Lord Jesus Christ reigns and rules and controls all flesh, the earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24 says, and inhabitants thereof, the world and the fullness thereof, the earth and the fullness thereof. Everything is the Lord's. He owns it. But His kingdom is not in this little ball of dirt. This is not it. His realm, a kingdom is a realm of operation, a realm, or God's realm of operation. His purpose, His will, His work is primarily concerned not with this world, but with another world, a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom, an unseen kingdom. He said in another place, listen to this. Here's another revealing statement. He said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. No, the revival. That's not it. The kingdom of God was there. It was 12 men in an upper room, and everybody said, there ain't nothing to that. The kingdom doesn't come with observation. Look, the whole world's gone after Him. That wasn't His kingdom. Those weren't His people. Those weren't His believers. His people. His subjects. Thousands and thousands followed. Just a few were His subjects. And they didn't look like His subjects. They didn't look like subjects. Poor little finite man thinks that this ball of dirt is what everything's all about. You know? Little finite man thinks that this ball of dirt, and he thinks the universe, time and eternity and everything revolves around this little planet Earth. We've got to save it. We've got to save it. The Jews over there, now you picture this globe. I looked at I've got a big map on my wall of the world. And it'd be even better to look at a globe. If you have a globe at home, look at it. It all looks so small and so insignificant when you look at it from a distance, Now, this is just one tiny planet among in a huge universe. And the inhabitants thereof, Isaiah said, are like grasshoppers to God. Boy, he sure needs man. Why, he can't do anything without man is an idiot. You know, man is an idiot to think that God, everything revolves around this little ball of dirt and worms crawling around on it. Well, he's the head. If you look, I meant to say, the Jews, if you look at the globe or a map and find Israel, you have to look real hard. But there's the kingdom. There it is. If you look a little while, you'll find it. It'll be a speck on the map over there in the Middle East. You look real hard and you'll find it. Well, there's God's kingdom. How foolish can you get? How foolish can you get? America. Oh, well, America then. It's much bigger. You put two of this country in Africa, four or five of them in Asia. This is God's kingdom? No way. This ball of dirt plays a part in God's purpose. He created this ball of dirt. He created man upon it for the purpose of having a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven to the glory of His grace. And He came to visit this planet several times since He created it. He came to visit this planet like a king would visit some of his poor little countries. You understand? He's reigning to rule over angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts before the world, before this ball was ever created. And when He created, He condescended, as Proverbs 8 says, His delight for with the sons of men, like a good king went down to visit some of His subjects, His poor little subject. He did come to earth. But His kingdom? That's His kingdom? Well, He sits on the circle of the earth. His kingdom's not confined to that little ball of dirt. He came in the end to do that great work of redemption for some of those poor earthbound creatures. He came to save them. Then He went back to His eternal throne. The majesty, right hand, the Scripture says, of the majesty on high. Where's that? Well, the heavens can't contain Him. The heavens can't contain Him. The heavens, not just our atmosphere. The heavens can't contain Him. God dwelleth not in buildings made with hands. He's not going to sit on some throne in Israel. He didn't do it the first time. Did He, Sam? Why didn't He do it the first time? Because that's not His kingdom. He had a throne. It's in heaven. His kingdom's not of this world. Someday He's going to incinerate this little ball of dirt. Just burn it up. And the blast of His nostrils, the Scripture says. His kingdom is not of this world. Not of this poor little sphere. If so, we would fight. If this is it, Christ is going to come back and reign 1,000 years and all of the premillennial, everybody's all caught up with, and we fight. We get into church and state and all these fights. I just finished this message when I got a package from UPS. And it was a package, and I didn't know, I wasn't expecting a package. Well, anyway, in it was this thing from the Legislative Action Arm of Family Research Council of America, located in Virginia. And they sent me about a 250 voter guides for Christian voters to know who to vote for. I thought, how appropriate, right after I finished this, And here they send me this big thing and want me to start politicking. We've got to get us a Christian congressman. They want me to take my time tonight to inform you voters who to vote for. And that's what preachers are doing, people. Social issues, political issues, all manner of issues regarding this world. We got to fight. We got to fight. No, we don't either. What's our fight? Paul said to Timothy, he said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Nowhere in this book will you find any prophet or apostle taking up any political cause for anybody, ever. You won't find one instance of one apostle candidating for Tiberius Exus the First, or whoever, candidating. You won't hear him talking about social issues. You won't hear him talking about prayer in schools. You won't hear him talking about anything but one thing. One thing needful. This is the battle that's being raged. This is the warfare. Paul said this, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not fighting evil government. The fight is against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. What's the power? What do we use? What do we use to fight with? What's our weapon? What is it people need to be informed of? Who to vote for? Who to bow to? That's who. Truth. Tell them the truth, Christ said. The truth will set them free. The gospel. People are informed voters. I'm trying to inform believers. That's all I'm concerned with. Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, we would fight." We enter into these issues, these social issues. Save this planet. Verse 37, I'm going to go on. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" "Are you a king?" Jesus answered. Now he still didn't answer. "Thou sayest that I'm a king." I love that. "You said I'm a king." Oh my. Pilate wished he had never asked him that. Wish he had bowed before him, doesn't he? Right now, Pilate wishes that. "Art thou king? Thou sayest." Well, here's what he answers. He says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Not to set up an earthly kingdom. No. But that I should bear witness unto the truth." And that's what we're all about. Preacher in the church, that's what it's all about. To bear witness of the truth. Because everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. Every subject of the king is going to bow. Every Jew is going to acknowledge him as king. Every Jew, to bear witness of the truth, he said. Everyone that's of the truth is going to hear his voice. I'm looking for Jews. I'm looking for Jews to tell them there's a king. King of the Jews. You see, he still didn't answer this man, did he? Still didn't answer. All spiritual Israel will be saved. But he's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but inwardly. And circumcisions of the heart. And all Israel will be saved by decree of the king. He decreed it. He gave commandment to save his people. Right now, all true Jews are meeting together to bow the knee and freely confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Not by man's decree, not by their decree, not by choice, not by our making him so, but by decree of God. I want you to read this in closing. John 19, in closing, I like this. John 19, verse 19. Well, Pilate, After all of this interview, he still didn't get an answer. So it was customary for them to write over whoever it was that they crucified. It was customary to write their accusation. He's a murderer. The thieves on the cross had that written over there. Murderer and a thief. So that everybody could go by and see why they're getting what they got. Well, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, in capital letters, the King of the Jews. The King of the Jews. And the Jews got furious. I mean the fleshly Jews, the national Jews. Look at it. The title read, many of the Jews, and you know he wrote it in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. He had it written in three languages. That was all the languages of the earth at that time. All the known languages. Every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue got to read when they walked by. That's the King of the Jews. But the Jews, these national Jews, when they read that, the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, don't write the King of the Jews. Right there, he said, I'm the King of the Jews. Well, he didn't. Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written. Why? Why did he write that? Pilate said, I've written. God wrote it there for Jews to read in every line. There is a King of Jews. He has a people. They're all Jews. Jews now, need I remind you what a Jew is? It's one, a son of Jacob. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Son of Jacob. Chosen, loved by God, covenant given. What advantage had the Jews? Every way. All Jews will be saved. All Jews. They have a king that commanded it. All right, let's sing in closing a good hymn. We'll sing it a cappella. You can stay back there, Jeanette. 16. Number 16 in the green book. I like this. Number 16. Let's stand as we sing. First and last verses. Number 16. The Lord is King. Lift up thy voice. Sing his praise, all heaven and earth before him now rejoice. Sing his praise from world to world. The joy shall ring, for he alone is God and King. From sky to sky, his banners cling. Sing his praise, the Lord.
Thank you.